Our lesson this evening is from Colossians chapter 2. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the power working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive, together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Whenever the record needs to be corrected on something, matters on something that's right or wrong, the most important thing that you can say is the correct answer. If there's limited time and energy, space to say something, you have to say what's actually true. I think of an example of when you're going to someone's house for the first time and you need to have an address. Well, it's important if you repeat back to them the address that's wrong, they say, nope, this is the address, and they just say what the address is. You give them the address. If you're my age, you plug it into your phone and you let the phone do the work. If you're maybe a little bit older, well, you do it the old-fashioned way, either with a map or just common sense reading signs along the way. Well, we also know, though, sometimes the error, or a common error, needs to be identified by name, too. It's not just enough to say the right address, what it is, but you need to explicitly name the error that happens and say, don't do that. So it'd be a matter of saying, head up this road 7 miles and turn right on this road. If you hit the house with the red barn and the silo next to it, you've gone too far. Because enough people have done it that way, and you say, I'm going to make sure you don't make this error, you don't make this mistake. The more common the error, the more necessary it is for you by name to say, this is the error not to make. Last week in our midweek series, Paul, he confessed the truth to the Colossians, and by extension to us and the rest of the church as well. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it is a glorious gospel. Glorious because it is precious, glorious because it is universal for all mankind, glorious because it is sufficient, it is enough for our salvation. But tonight he goes a little further. He confesses the truth of the gospel in specific response to the errors, whatever we can tell that they are, that were going on there in the Colossian church. The lesson, as I read this evening, starts with Paul's version of, remember what I first taught you at the very beginning and apply it to your life. Here again his words. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. That is, walk in the way of the truth that you received. before all the people that came along and confused the matter, before all of the errors crept in, go back to what you first heard and learned. Go back to how you first received Christ, not in the way of the error that is being wedged in, but in the way that you learned initially to know and love Jesus Christ. It is this, as if he said, you've already learned him. If you want to walk in the true faith, go back to square one and walk that way. Now, walking in Christ, as he was initially learned by the Colossians, are there implications for this? Absolutely. Big time. Unless these implications get lost, Paul states them explicitly to the Colossians. He says, in summary, avoid being led astray by philosophy and empty deceit according to the human traditions and elemental spirits of the world. You see, to walk in the truth of Jesus Christ is to reject utterly and completely everything which contradicts that truth of the gospel. It's to reject and turn away from anything which is a lie about Christ and his kingdom, the kingdom of God and the church. You see, Jesus Christ, as we've spoken of before, as we know very well, is sufficient for our eternal salvation. He is enough for us to have fellowship with God in this life and forever. Nothing can add to that. So Paul is saying, don't even give the time of day to anybody that would come in and try and staple something on top of that. Anybody that would come in and muddy the waters, confusing the issue of how are you saved? You're saved by Christ and his grace alone. In Jesus Christ, Paul says, the fullness of the deity, that is, the fullness of God dwells in him. And moreover, you are filled up with him as a Christian. What can you add to that? What can you take to make that reality of Christ being full God and Christ filling you up completely, what in the world can you add on top of that? It's absolutely nothing. Since you've been filled with him, what more do you need? Nothing is lacking. Absolutely nothing. And so with this understood, to those then who would come in after the fact, those who would come in after Paul later, as they did there and in so many other of his churches, and posit Old Testament circumcision, saying the males of you to be Christians, you must believe in Jesus, yes, but you must also be circumcised at the same time, Paul retorts with this, you have a better circumcision. They say circumcision of the flesh? No, you as a Christian already have a better circumcision not made with hands. And it's namely, he doesn't just leave it vague or out broadly, but he zeroes in and says, you have baptism. You have the Lord's institution of the washing with Christ, whereby the old flesh and the old man and all of its death and sin is put off from you, and you are raised through faith by the working of God. Not merely as a symbol of these things, but the actuality of these things. Not just a sign of your obedience, but something that God does for you using his created elements, specifically water and his word. By God's active power in baptism, Paul tells the Colossians and you and me tonight, you are saved, made a new creature in Jesus Christ. And as a reminder to them and to us about the depths of our need for this being made a new creature, he says, you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Laying it out quite clearly, the necessity for the good that he promised us and gives us in Jesus Christ. But God, who raised Jesus from the dead then, and who raises you and your new Adam now, he does this completely, forgiving all sins, canceling all debts. This is Paul, without any stuttering, clearly refuting those who would bring in man-made traditions, try and pull parts of the Old Testament and bring it in to say, let's mix this together and you have the true church. No, that's not Christianity. It's not how they learned Christ then. It isn't the reality of Christ now for them or for us. Christ has done all of these things for us. And how has he done it? Paul says, by nailing these things to the cross. Disarming not only the devil and his minions, which work to bring unbelief and sin into the world and keep it going to do the devil's bidding, but who Christ has rejected and destroyed himself in his own work and by his own word. This is the truth. This is the truth of who Jesus is. He says so clearly to them. And so the question is that they have and we have too, what does this mean? Before they were Lutherans, that question was being asked and it was being answered. And Paul answers it here. In the next paragraph, he says, don't judge by human measures. Don't receive judgment from other people, either other people in the church there at Colossae who might have been led astray, by other people who were preachers who came in who said, yes, I am a preacher in the manner of Paul and I am following in the manner of the apostles, but by the way, you must keep these food regulations from the Old Testament. You must follow these Sabbaths and new moons and keep these to be a true Christian indeed. Paul says, no. Don't receive any judgment according to these things. And for us, there's a twofold one. First of all, don't receive any judgment to these new feasts and Sabbaths according to the Old Testament, or really today's modern PC ones as well. No one's coming in our churches saying, to be a true Lutheran, men must be circumcised and you have to keep the law of Moses and this, that, and the other. But there are plenty of holidays that we are expected to offer our pinch of incense to and to give sort of acquiescence to, that we must celebrate what is going on in the culture or lest the police come after us or the politically correct police. No, these are just made up things that we can disregard just as much as the people in the New Testament time could disregard the Old Testament being brought in to the churches. Don't let them disqualify you with their own man-made criteria. The worship of angels, the visions, and things of that nature. Why? Because these things are not above Christ. Christ who is the head. Christ in his gospel. And because he is the true head from whom the whole body is nourished and grows, these things can't possibly, like I said, add anything to that salvation. For the Colossians at this point, it should be an obvious question that is asked. If they're listening to Paul and taking what he says to heart, we have Jesus Christ, so why try and mix in something else? Why try and go back to the old ways, the things were done? Christians have died to the world with Christ. That's the reality of what it means that you belong to Jesus Christ. So why submit to the world and all of its regulations, whether they be really old ones or really new ones? Why submit? The aorists, they were focusing on things then, just as they are now, things that perish, things that pass away. The food and the feasts and the Sabbaths, here one day, gone the next. The political correct causes of the day that we are told to celebrate and wave our flags for, they're here one day, gone the next. What is gained by submitting to them? What is gained by following them? What is gained by pretending even to go along with them? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, adds nothing to Christ. So he's saying, why even bother? Why waste the effort? Finally, it's just more self-made religion, just the same as every other false gospel in the world, something which distracts us from God's pure grace in Jesus. Dear friends, you see, the fact of the matter is, and Paul returns to this time and again, not only in all of his writings, but especially for the Colossians, Jesus Christ is enough. Jesus Christ is sufficient. There's no supplements that are needed. No supplements can be added. We can walk in a way which would supplant him in his glory, or we can walk in his way, simply receiving his promise of salvation by grace and saying, I believe this for me too. We can obey men or we can obey God. That's the fork that always lies us before us in the road. And so Paul presents the case to us quite clearly. Jesus alone or Jesus and something else. I hope the Colossians had the right conclusion, as I know that we do tonight. When it's that choice, it's absolutely no contest. We take Jesus alone and accept the promise that he has given us with a clean conscience, knowing nothing can add or will ever add to him, and we rest securely in him. To him be all glory now and forever. Amen.